Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Beyond 50 radio program. I'm Daniel Davis. On the program today, gut health is the order of the day. Most people might be sitting there thinking, well, what does my gut have to do with what we're going to talk about when it comes to health? Well, a lot of us chase down a little bit all these ailments that kind of bother us, whether it's fatigue, tiredness, who knows, you know, feeling the aches and pains, growing old, or perhaps disease and sickness. Well, a lot of those concerns have been linked to an irritated or unhealthy gut. Autoimmune conditions, allergies, arthritis, chronic fatigue syndrome, as I mentioned earlier in the program. Well, joining us here on the Beyond 50 radio program today is someone with more than 18 years of award-winning nutritional experience with a passion for creating delicious and nourishing recipes. Her book is a wonderful 30-day plan that can revive the gut to health, which is exactly what we want to be exploring here today. Her book is The Gut Health Diet Plan. I'd like to welcome the Beyond 50 radio program today our guest, Christine Bailey. Christine, thank you for joining us here on the program today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Gut health, you know, this is something you're starting to hear a lot more of, I've noticed, over the last 5 years, give or take, maybe not even quite so long. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of programs here on Beyond 50, and it's interesting how you're seeing this emerge, and it's kind of like we're going back to the basics again, aren't we?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, you've probably also talked about in the past the importance of incorporating fermented foods, and that absolutely goes back to our heritage. You know, every culture would be utilizing homemade fermented foods, which are rich in these beneficial bacteria, which we now know from the research are fundamental to our overall health. And just as you said, not just gut health, you know, these our microbiome, the bacteria in our gut, can have profound effects in all of our body systems. And it's so relevant when you think, I mean, you think in America, around about 20% of Americans suffer with IBS. So that's about 60 million people. And this is something that affects most people. So, you know, going beyond the gut to the fact that, yes, it can affect fatigue, autoimmune conditions. It can be linked to our brain health, diabetes now. You know, it's relevant to pretty much everyone.
You know, it's interesting when you bring up diabetes. I remember when we started doing a series of programs on reversing diabetes, people were scratching their heads saying, well, wait a minute, I didn't think diabetes had a cure. I thought this was something that we actually had to learn to live with. And in fact, when you look at most of the people, and now you're hearing it, it's a regular part of the language, you know, that yes, you can reverse type 2 diabetes. It just is possible. And most of the protocols have to do with food. That's pretty interesting.
Absolutely. And we see clients all the time here who are looking for natural ways to reverse diabetes. And you can. You can reverse it. You can get into real root causes of why in the first place you had blood sugar imbalances. And simply, I mean, food is the greatest medicine we have, and we all have access to it. And really, if you're looking at your health, it starts with what you put on your plate. And that's true with diabetes, it's true with gut health.
Now, how did this all start for you? I mean, going in this direction, as you know, as a doctor, what was it that really kind of clicked and you said, you know, this is how I really want to dedicate my work?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, from a personal perspective, I've actually had myself a bowel operation when I was very young. And, you know, the doctors, the medics didn't really know quite how to resolve it because I was then faced with lots of ongoing problems. And that's really, I suppose, what led me down the food route. You know, well, what can I do? I need to find the underlying triggers. I need to find what is the root cause. You know, I don't want to just take medicine to tackle the symptoms, whether that's abdominal pain or whatever. I want to find out why. Why have I got this? And then I started embarking in what we call functional medicine or functional nutrition. And the whole point of taking what we call a functional nutrition approach is we first of all need to find out what our triggers are. What is causing these problems? And if you can identify those, and that could be true of any health condition, it doesn't just have to be to the gut, but if you can identify those, can we then change them, remove them, manipulate them, reverse them, and then we can replace whatever was lacking, if it needed lacking, and by doing so, we can bring about healing. And you can use food, you can use supplements, but also lifestyle as well. I mean, for a lot of people, you know, stress and the fact that they don't exercise or they don't spend so much time outdoors in the fresh air with the sunlight and so on can also be a factor as well. But for me, there was a personal story there. And then I have three children, and I have twins. And one of the twins, when he was very young, about the age of two, developed an autoimmune disease. Now, with my research and my background, I knew that this one was actually linked to gluten. It was linked to gluten. It was linked to dairy, which are both very big inflammatory triggers for the gut. And so I put him on a gluten-free, dairy-free, almost paleo style of eating. And within 2 weeks, we reversed it. I mean, it was quite profound. And so, you know, again, I work with a lot of families. I work with a lot of people with autoimmune diseases. And simply by making changes to the diet, we can bring about tremendous healing.
Okay, now I can't help myself here. I popped onto Facebook because I like to shoot, you know, the information out here as I'm doing it. Now, this blows my mind. You got this little trending box over here. Here's what's right at the top, believe it or not, as we talk. Gastroesophageal reflux disease. Now, I've never heard of anything like that, but we certainly know about acid reflux.
Tell us about that.
I know this is going to be cornerstone on what we're talking about here almost.
Yeah, I mean, GERD, we call it, which is esophagus reflux disease. And I tell you that, you know, this is one of those conditions which affects so many people. And with some people, it is actually caused by an infection in your stomach. It's caused by a bacterium called Helicobacter pylori. So if you do suffer with acid reflux, first of all, just get your doctor, your medic, your practitioner to test, because it could be that. I mean, there are other conditions, hernia and so on. Stress can cause it, and stress can actually aggravate the gut lining and the stomach as well. So don't put aside the fact that stress may be a contributing factor. But we also know that gluten is a big trigger for acid reflux. And we also know, for example, that certain foods can be a trigger, such as chili and spices can be a big trigger as well. So there are food triggers that can cause it. But do you know, one of the things that affects most people is how you eat, not what you eat, but how and when you eat. And we now know that if you eat very late at night, or you don't allow the gut time, 12 to 14 hours of not eating overnight, that can increase your risk of gastric reflux as well. So it's really important, again, not just looking at what's on your plate, you know, how much and when you are eating.
Now, it's interesting because you mentioned gluten, and that's something you hear a lot of people talking about now. All of a sudden, everybody seems to have this gluten intolerance. They're going into restaurants, and they're telling people, you need to make my meal special. That's why I went out for dinner. It's like, well, why don't you just stay home? What's going on with this gluten stuff?
Now, you know what's interesting is I see a lot of people going through my clinic who are actually diagnosed with celiac. Now, celiac is an autoimmune condition which is triggered by gluten. Now, that's quite separate from what a lot of people may have, which is what we call gluten sensitivity. Now, the medical research is actually supporting the fact that there is something called non-celiac gluten sensitivity. This is a research medical condition now. So, yes, there can be people that are following a gluten-free diet, and actually they probably don't need to, but there are also a lot of people where gluten is affecting them, But they've gone to their doctor, and their doctor said, well, it's fine, you're not celiac. You can eat gluten. Actually, they may not be good with gluten. And we also know from the research, gluten is one of the biggest triggers for something called intestinal permeability or leaky gut, which I'm sure, again, you've heard lots about.
Now, in your book, you outline it's basically a five-step plan that helps transform your health. Now, let's talk a little bit in detail about what these steps are.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So the five-step approach is, again, using the basis of what we call functional medicine. And in America, you have a lot of registered functional medics who will absolutely recognize these five stages. The first one is what we call, and we call them the five R's just for ease, but the first one is remove. And it's really what we've just been talking about. So you identify, and sometimes it might be you have to do lab testing with a qualified practitioner. Sometimes it's just, you know, identifying certain triggers in your lifestyle, but you need to remove the triggers. Now, these might be that you've actually got a gut infection. You might have a parasite. You might have bacterial overgrowth. You might also be reacting to a food like gluten, like dairy, for example. You may also find that actually for you, it's again the timing of when you're eating or how much you're eating or the stress levels that you're putting your body under. So the first thing is identify what your triggers are and remove them, because you can't help yourself, you can't heal the gut if those triggers are still there. There's no way you can. So that has to be the first step. So that's the remove step. And then we say, right, okay, you've removed those triggers, and that might be, you know, you take out gluten for a while or you see that improves and so on. And all the recipes in the book are all gluten-free. You know, so they're all suitable for people who already might know that they're celiac or gluten sensitive, for example. So the next one is, well, do we need to replace anything? Because for some people, they don't act, and particularly I'm afraid as we get older, you don't necessarily have all the digestive enzymes to help you break foods down. Your stomach acid might actually be too low because you need stomach acid to break down your protein in your food, for example. So we need to replace certain nutrients that help us to digest our food. Now, to give you an example, when we eat certain foods like papaya or fresh pineapple, they naturally contain enzymes that help us break our food down. That's often why they're added to marinades to help, you know, sort of soften meat before you cook it. Likewise, some people find when they drink a glass of warm water with a bit of lemon juice, it can stimulate their digestion before a meal. That's because it's helping with the stomach acid. Including bitter foods like watercress, rocket, chicory, all of those are natural bitter greens which, again, stimulate your digestion. And, you know, again, going back to how we used to eat, quite often we would have a little salad of these bitters or even take herbal bitters before a meal to help us digest. So that's the replace. Now, the next one, which goes into my love of fermented foods, is we have to repopulate. We have to put in those beneficial bacteria that we're often lacking. And that can be stress can deplete them, taking antibiotics, taking certain other medications can do it, you know, eating the wrong sort of foods, eating too much sugar. All of these can affect our good bacteria. So what I encourage people to do is regularly make their own or buy their own fermented foods like sauerkraut, kimchi, kefir, kombucha, yogurt, miso, natto. All of these are natural probiotic bacteria-rich foods that can naturally replenish our gut. Now, yes, of course we can take supplements, but I'd rather people start with food. And in the book, I give you loads of recipes to make your own. So that's a repopulate. And then we say, okay, now we've got to potentially repair your gut, because often if you've been, you know, riddled with a parasite or bacteria, or you've been eating gluten or other foods that have really aggravated your gut, even medications can do it. You need to repair that gut. So I talk about all the gut healing foods, all the nutrients the gut lining needs, like glutamine, omega-3s. There's certain, you know, vitamins and minerals like zinc, for example, really important for healing that gut. And I show you which foods you should be eating and whether you might actually need a supplement as well. And then finally, and this really should be done all the way through, is rebalance. And that's getting the mind back into focus. So we tackle cortisol, our stress hormone, which can have such a profound effect on our gut. We talk about mind-body therapies. We talk about how you can get enough sleep, which, again, is really vital for the gut to heal. Because if your sleep is disrupted, it can often affect your stress levels. It can make you crave more for sugar and caffeine to keep you going. It disrupts your bowel movements. So there's loads of things in the lifestyle that can also help as well. And we talk about that as well.
Now, one of the things you also hear a lot about, too, especially if you're sitting there watching your favorite evening show, is irritable bowel syndrome. What exactly is that, and how does somebody know when they have something like this?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And as I said earlier, you know, it's estimated that about 60 million people in America have irritable bowel. So the common symptoms are often people get told they've got IBS or irritable bowel when pretty much the doctors have given up and they can't really find another diagnosis. Irritable bowel is a collection of symptoms. It's not a disease. So you might have bloating after meals. You might get stomach cramps. You might have alternating diarrhea or constipation. Sometimes people get reflux as well. It tends to be all of those symptoms which can vary from one day to another. You know, one day you might feel great. Next day, God, my stomach's really hurting. I've got serious pain, or I'm completely bloated, or I'm, you know, feeling really heavy, very sick, nauseous. So it's a range of symptoms. And that's why the 5-hour approach is so important, because what it does is it says, no. You need to find out what your trigger is for those IBS. You know, I've had clients that have come to me and they've been struggling with IBS for 15, 20 years. We end up doing a few lab tests. We find out they've got bacterial overgrowth. They've got a parasite. They're actually sensitive to gluten. And by then removing those triggers, they resolve it. And they can't believe that they've had to struggle for that long with these, you know, symptoms. And for some people, they can affect your whole quality of life if you suffer with that day in, day out.
Now, you mentioned something earlier, and we're actually going to be doing a segment tomorrow on this very thing, and that is kombucha tea.
Oh, love
now,
it.
I think it's fascinating because I think it was about 7 years ago, excuse me, we went out to stay on this farm this lady has up in southwestern Washington, and she had offered to us these thing known as water kefir grains.
Mm.
And, you know, she says, here, go ahead and taste this water. We were like, oh, this is kind of like sweetened iced tea, you know, but it was just water. And she explained, you know, it was water with sugar, and that these crystals, what they do is they eat the sugar in the water. But she really didn't explain really that I could be aware of, you know, what the benefit of having this was. So I just kind of let that go. And some strange reason, it clicked in me last summer, and I don't really know why or what it was, and I started looking into it, because if you live in Portland, Oregon, you'll see kombucha tea offered everywhere. I mean, we seem to have breweries popping up for this stuff, you know, all of a sudden. And, well, anyway, so I started looking into this along with fermented foods, and I was just like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe how simple not only a lot of this was, but the extreme benefits a lot of these things like kombucha tea, kefir water, kefir milk, that sort of thing, that they have. Now, tell us why those things are so impressively beneficial to what we're talking about here today.
You're absolutely right. So you're mentioning two things. So water kefir and kombucha are two separate things, but they're both fermented foods, and they're both effectively like a sugary water. However, it's worth saying is once it's fermented, the sugar level goes down. So people think, well, what, you're recommending sugar? No, we're not, because when you actually ferment it, the sugar level goes down. So the first thing is, what is kombucha? So kombucha, and you can make this at home, it's so easy, it's so cheap. It's based on what we call, these are both ancient Chinese type of elixirs or drinks, and they are made from a combination of bacteria and yeast, which almost grow in this, and it's like a sort of symbiosis of a growth. It looks a little bit strange. The kombucha one is called a SCOBY, which means mother, because it has the ability to reproduce effectively. So it grows when you feed it. And what you do is you get your SCOBY and you feed it, or you put it in what we call sweetened tea. Normally, traditionally, it was green tea, which, as you know, has so many health benefits. It's very rich in antioxidants anyway. And you effectively put this SCOBY in the sweetened tea. And over a few days, sometimes weeks, it begins to feed on those sugars. And as it does so, you get this range of beneficial bacteria in the water, in that sweetened tea. And then what you do is you strain it off, you reserve that SCOBY, and you start again. So you're always, you know, growing a new load of kombucha to drink. And then you consume it. And it's been studied now very widely for the range of health benefits. It's been shown to help with the immune system, with obviously gut health, with lowering inflammation in the body and so on. And traditionally, you would just drink a small glass every day. Water kefir is very similar, but it's a different range of bacteria and yeast. And you get these what we call kefir grains, which is what you saw. They look almost crystally like, and again you feed them in a sugared water. Sometimes I love adding some lemon to mine, and a little bit of ginger, and again you ferment it over a few days, and then you strain it off and you drink it. And these are absolutely packed with a whole range of beneficial bacteria and yeast. And by taking them on a regular basis, say every day, what you're doing is you're basically flooding your gut with all these beneficial probiotics. So that's why they traditionally have been so important in a lot of cultures. And, you know, now, thankfully, they're widely available. You can buy them. But you know what? I encourage people to make it themselves, because then you've got access to it every day and it's cheaper.
Well, yeah, that's for sure, especially when it comes to somebody who decides to buy over-the-counter probiotic supplements. You cannot beat the cost of going this direction, as we're talking about here with the kombucha tea or the kefir water or kefir milk, and going that direction. You just can't beat the cost of doing it on your own.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you know, you've mentioned you can also do milk kefir. Now, of course, if someone has an intolerance to milk, you can make coconut kefir. You know, you can make it with nuts. So you can, again, vary it according to your own dietary needs. And like you say, it's so much cheaper. And it's also great for kids. A lot of people say, well, can I give this to my children? Yes, absolutely you can give it to your children. And again, if your children suffer with, you know, allergies, you know, eczema, psoriasis, asthma, and I see a lot of children in my clinic, all of those are signs that the gut needs support. There is inflammation in the body and the gut, which is, you know, 70% of your immune system resides in the gut because of the importance of these microbiome, our bacteria. So by giving your children, you know, a little bit of coconut yogurt or milk kefir daily, that can really help them as well.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because when it comes to milk kefir, as I understand it, what the kefir grains actually do is they convert the lactose in milk over to a probiotic. Is that correct?
Well, what they actually do is you're quite right, the lactose is sugar. It's sugar in your milk. So when you ferment, and this is true for yogurt as well, and if you're particularly if you're making it yourself and you ferment it, say, 24, 48 hours, pretty much is lactose-free. So if you are someone who can tolerate dairy but can't tolerate lactose, you can probably tolerate your own milk kefir or your own homemade yogurt. So it's another way of making something a little bit more tolerable as well. So, yes, you're quite right. The bacteria will be feeding on the sugar, and because they feed on that sugar, they're lowering that lactose.
Now, you know, it's really fascinating. When we talk about diet plans on the program, what seems to be happening in a fair amount of cases is this. Somebody has to sacrifice or give up something. You look in this book, The Gut Health Diet Plan, and to me, you don't really give up anything except for maybe a way that you eat, and you start gaining the perspective of what you should be eating. To me, it has to do with it being as raw as possible, as alive as possible, and as natural as possible, which means, if anything, you might lose a little bit of time, but what you gain in knowledge, and especially from the health perspective, you know, is pretty incredible. You would say to yourself, geez, I don't really lose anything at all when it comes to doing something like this.
You're quite right. It's going back to real food, just as our parents probably made, our grandparents made. And, you know, the recipes that I've designed, and these have been tried and tested on so many people, so many clients, so many children. You know, I include sweet treats in there. I just make them healthy. You know, I include food that is quick and easy, or food that you could freeze if you're rushed of time. I include lots of family favorites as well. And you're quite right. The key is really not to look at what I can't eat, but what does my body need and what can I eat that's going to nourish it? And that goes back to real food, natural, unprocessed real food, plenty of protein, plenty of healthy fats, lots of veg, lots of, you know, natural healthy foods and so on that, you know, we all have access to. I'm not using loads of complicated ingredients that are expensive. It's just getting people back into the kitchen, really, and starting to really think about what's on their fork and their plate.
Well, you know, and the benefits, too, of eating more of the raw and live foods is, one, your body doesn't work all that hard because this food, as you were saying earlier in the program, tends to be rich in enzymes, so it really helps break itself down. And that's really beneficial. Now, one of the things you also talk about here, and I had a gentleman on the program a few months back where we were talking about how you soak seeds and nuts and what the benefit of that is. And again, you can imagine living a whole lifetime doing a lot of interviews here, you know, when it comes to health and nutrition. And all of a sudden these concepts seem relatively new, but yet they've been around for centuries. Now tell
quite
us
right.
about the benefits of soaking nuts and seeds and things like that.
Yeah, quite right. And again, you know, what I find is when I coach people through a plan like this, immediately they say, gosh, I haven't got time to do that. Do I really need to do that? But, you know, actually, if you just get into a habit of just doing it first thing in the morning. So the reason we often recommend people soak nuts and seeds is that not for everyone, but for some people, they contain what we call enzyme inhibitors. Because if you think about it, the nuts and seeds, they're effectively the next generation. So a seed doesn't particularly want to start sprouting unless it's in the right conditions. It's in the right soil, it's got the right moisture and so on. So they naturally contain these enzyme inhibitors to stop them sprouting when they're not wanting to. But the trouble is for people, and particularly people who have a sensitive digestive system, when you soak them, effectively what you're doing is you're breaking down these enzyme inhibitors. You actually make those nuts and seeds so much more digestible. And all you do is just pour some cold water, fresh water over them, soak them. Some people soak them overnight, but you can just soak them for an hour or so and then drain them, and then you can use them. You either blend them or you use them in any recipe. So it's really just helping your body to digest better. And for some people, particularly when they're starting a program and they've been struggling with gut problems for ages, just doing those little little extra things, soaking up some seeds, or even marinating foods as well, you know, adding a little bit of lemon or lime juice or vinegar, can, again, that acidity helps to break down proteins. So things like that, which can just help your digestion that little bit further, can make all the difference. And remember, again, you know, some of these things we did do, you know, sort of decades ago. These were traditional things we did, marinate foods, slow cooking, again, another thing that, you know, perhaps our parents used to do, you know, use up the carcass of the chicken after a roast and, you know, boil up the bones to make a healthy stock, and then maybe use the cheap cuts of meat in slow cooking. Or what this does is that slow cooking, again, it breaks down the tough collagen fibers in meats and fish, and it makes it easier for our gut to digest. So, you know, it doesn't take much to put stuff in a casserole or a slow cooker and then just leave it. And then you've got a delicious, easy-to-digest meal a few hours later.
So just to recap for our listeners out there and tease them into wanting to get a wonderful book such as The Gut Health Diet Plan, let's go ahead and briefly go over the five steps again, and I'll go ahead and name off. The first one would be you want to remove gut irritants and toxins.
That's right.
Okay. And so how do we know what those things are?
So for some people, it might be that they need to see a practitioner. I mean, in the book, I detail the sort of symptoms and the common food allergens, so the gluten, the dairy, and some of the others. So I do detail those and the likely symptoms. For other people, if they suspect, you know, maybe they've gone traveling a lot or whatever, and they suspect they've actually got a gut infection, you may actually need to see a practitioner who can actually run some lab tests for you. For other people, they might be aware that it's the style of eating. You know, it's when they're eating, or they're eating on the go all the time, or they're eating very late, or it's stress. So they may well know themselves from their lifestyle. But I give lots of hints and tips about how do you know which is your trigger.
And step two, you suggest to replace and kickstart your digestive system. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so that, again, is what we've talked about. Things like marinating your foods to really help make it more digestible, slow cooking, adding pineapples, things like papaya, lemon juice, vinegar, to stimulate those natural digestive secretions. And also, you know, just sitting down, eating, not eating on the go, sitting down, giving your body time to start digesting can make a profound difference as well. And eating more slowly, we all rush our food, and that gives our body time to digest. So that's the sort of replacing those enzymes, those digestive enzymes and the stomach acid that we need to naturally digest and break down our food.
And then the third thing you talk about is that we need to repopulate. Tell us what that means.
So that's bringing all those natural healthy bacteria, those probiotics, back into our diet. And that's really encouraging people to embrace making your own fermented foods. You know, those yogurts, those kefirs that we talked about, the kombucha, the sauerkraut, the kimchi, and we give you all the recipes and the tools to do that.
You know, it's interesting, too, because when it comes to snacks, it's amazing how you can make a little change there from, let's say, potato chips to something like a particular snack that I started enjoying is in the deli section of the supermarket that I shop at, is they have this area here where you can buy things like artichoke hearts, olives, things like that. And there's a Kalamata olive, green olive feta cheese mix.
Lovely.
And I actually sit there and I just sit there and I'll eat that, you know, as a snack. And I love the taste of it, you know. But that's got to be good stuff.
and also, you know what that's doing? That's giving you protein and healthy fats. Those two things your gut needs, and it will help to stabilize your blood sugar. It will stop those cravings. Whereas if you reach for like the potato chips, which are really just carb, you will end up probably an hour later feeling hungry and craving something more. So you're actually really nourishing your body there.
Not to mention, like I said, that little change, not that I ate a lot of potato chips before, but just that change. It's just really enjoyable. And that's just it is, you know, people always get the idea that when you use the word diet, that all of a sudden you're taking things away. And it's like, no, you're just changing some of the things you're doing. For instance, you know, I'll go to the supermarket, you know, you go to one of these bulk supermarket places, and I'm astounded at what I see in people's shopping carts, and I can correlate it by looking, well, whatever's in their cart, by the way their body type looks, and go, well, it doesn't surprise me that you look like this. Not that I'm doing that to them or anything. And you realize, my goodness, man, you know, and the expense they must go through to have the kinds of stuff they have in their shopping carts. And you realize down the road, you know, if they don't kind of change things, because most of what they have in there is processed food. It's food that sits on shelves. And that's not what the body is made for.
No, and they're devoid of nutrients, again, that the body needs. And actually, a lot of them contain what we call anti-nutrients, which actually inhibit the absorption of nutrients anyway. So, you know, they can have such a devastating effect. And you're quite right that if you don't make a change now, you'll probably have to take a change later because you've got disease. You know, food has the most profound effect on your health. I can't overestimate, you know, that a must. Food has such a profound effect to either bring about health or bring about disease. And it's our choice. We have a choice every day.
Now, step number four, you say repair your gut lining. So this is possible.
Absolutely. I mean, we actually have very sophisticated lab tests to actually monitor people's gut health and their gut lining. But yeah, absolutely. We know from the research it is possible to re-heal the gut. And that's the great thing about our body. Our body has such an innate ability to heal. So don't ever feel, if someone's listening now and they feel, you know, I've done so much damage to my body. Do you know what? It's never, ever too late. I have seen that so many times with clients. You know, it's never, ever too late. You're never too old. You've never gone down the path of destruction enough to say, I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. And we know what nutrients the gut needs. And I absolutely outline all of those nutrients the gut needs to heal itself and where you can get those from through food. And if you need additional supplements, then supplements is second. But food always comes first. And that is a crucial stage. And we now know that leaky gut, intestinal permeability, is one of the key factors in driving the rise of autoimmune conditions. So if you are listening now and you've got an autoimmune condition, you need to look at your gut and you need to heal your gut. There's no question about that.
Now, the last one I think is really, I think, should have been the first step, and that is to rebalance your mind and body. And you were saying earlier in the program, and this is so true with a lot of people, when it comes to food, I'm just too busy to cook. I'm too busy to follow some of the things that you're talking about. Well, maybe in your thinking you should start examining, why do you believe you're so busy and what are you busy doing?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
If you're too busy for your health, then how much longer do you think you're going to stay busy?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why I said earlier, you know, this one really goes throughout the whole of the program. You should be looking at ways of, do I need to reduce my stress? You know, do I need to maybe do some yoga or meditation or just some deep breathing? You know, these are all great ways to reduce stress. For a lot of people, it's lack of sleep. You know, they are insomniacs or they're waking up in the night. They're not exercising. You know, all of these things can all help with any gut symptoms that you have. And like you say, it's fundamental to our overall health and sense of well-being. And you know what? The other thing that when you look at cultures that are perhaps living the longest, or are living the healthiest, one of the things that they all have is a sense of community, is a sense of belonging with other people, with fellowship. And that, again, is feeling connected with other people is really important for our sense of well-being, as well as reducing our levels of stress. So that's just as important.
Couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on the program today to talk about your book, The Gut Health Diet Plan. I'm glad to hear this, you know, becoming more talked about. as they're beginning to discover, you know, a lot of connections. For instance, one of them is the autistic connection, that they're realizing, hey, you know, we might be able to reverse some of the symptoms of autism, you know, of an onset of autism in our children just by simply changing their diets, you know. And it's really amazing the connection between the brain and the gut that they're starting to make a lot more now. And you realize how many kids actually, for instance, go to school where they don't have breakfast, or if they have breakfast, it's usually a donut or some toast or something like that. And you realize, well, there's why they're having a rough time functioning in school. They just don't have that clarity or that energy they need to be able to get through something like that. Making simple changes like this, and they really are simple. They're, you know, they're not, as you read this book and you participate in what you outline here, it's pretty easy for people to do. They just have to decide that they need to do it. And once you experience the benefits, for instance, going back to the kombucha tea, when I started doing that here at home for myself, my digestion became regular now, you know, and I was like, wow, just that simple little thing alone. And it was interesting, and I thought, this is something I'd like to teach my grandchildren, because as you were saying, you're dealing with a live organism. So you're watching this thing grow, and you're teaching, you know, what the benefits are of that. And this is something you can pass on to your children, so you can begin to, and them, create the necessary habits that'll give them that health and longevity that they're going to be looking for in their adult years.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, I see so many children in clinic. You know, I actually run hands-on days for children, because I see this as such an important learning point. They need to learn about food and nutrition and how to cook. And this is fundamental. And you're quite right. There is loads of research now about the link to the gut and the brain, including autism, including behavior, including depression, you know, and again, making these simple changes. And they're not difficult. And all the recipes are very family friendly, very child friendly as well. It's not difficult, and yet it can have such a profound effect on your life and your children's life.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a website people can find out more, such as, you know, how to get a hold of your book, things like that?
Absolutely. So I'm very easy to find. If you just type in www.christinebailey.co.uk, you will see all the details about me, all my books. There's loads of additional information on there. There's lots of information and blogs about things like kefir, gut healing, leaky gut, and obviously how to get the book as well.
Very good, and I think you'll really be surprised in there when you see things such as southern spiced pulled pork with sauerkraut. Oh, boy.
It's good. It's very good.
Christine, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program today, and I love that we have these kind of lively discussions about this, because it really is about getting back to basics. Stop listening to all these people that you hear on television or on the radio or in magazines, and just get back and use some reason. I mean, this isn't complicated rocket science type stuff, and you've certainly got that simplicity here in your book, The Gut Health Diet Plan. Thank you so much for being on the program
today. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure.
We want to thank you, the listeners out there, for tuning in. You can also discover more by visiting us at beyond50radio.com. That is the number 50. We encourage you to subscribe to our weekly e-newsletter and stay up to date with what's going on in the community. You can also follow us on Twitter at Beyond 50 Radio, as well as Facebook. I'm Daniel Davis. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Beyond 50 Radio program, and remember, live your day past halfway.